A private language. I had a quick word, said Broad. It seemed, without ever agreeing it, that him and Savine had worked out a kind of private language where the words didn't mean what they normally meant. What Broad meant by having a quick word was that he'd knocked half the teeth out of the mouthiest worker they could find as an example to the others.
Everyone's back to work. Night shifts too. Don't reckon you'll have any more problems at the armory.
Master Broad, said Savine, you are an absolute magus when it comes to labour relations. Broad absently rubbed his sore hands together. Labour relations. That's what they were calling it. He wondered who it helped giving ugly things pretty names. Didn't really make it any prettier. The opposite, if anything. Might we talk for a moment? She asked, like they were two old friends who never got the chance to catch up. She had that glow about her now that women can get when they're expecting. Broad remembered that glow on Liddy when she was pregnant with May. Long time ago, when he had all his hopes intact.
Of course, Lady Savine. I mean, Your Grace, sorry.
Don't be ridiculous, Gunner. You never have to apologise to me. I know how much I owe you. No less than my life. Had I not happened upon you in Valbeck... Her smile slipped for just a moment, then she took a breath and whipped out a new one, wider than ever. And you have been an absolute treasure since. I hardly know how I used to manage without you. You and Liddy and May. Your daughter is a wonder with the books. Such a credit to you.
Thank you, Your Grace.
I hope you are happy working for me, you and them.
We are, Your Grace.
They were, anyway, and that was what counted.
Couldn't be happier.
It feels almost as if, and I hope you will not think me presumptuous, but it feels as if I am part of your family and you are part of mine. I would hate for us to be split up. She had that glow, no doubt, a healthy softness to her face and a lively colour to her cheeks and her hands cupping the slight swell of her belly, but that flinty gleam in her eye was the same as ever. Broad gave threats for a living. He knew how to spot one. He cleared his throat and looked down at his boots. Fine new pair of boots he had, all shiny. There is... one small favour I need you to do for me, she said. Something very important. It needs someone strong, someone brave, but also someone subtle. There is no one else I trust to do it. Broad swallowed.
Anything I can do, you know that.
You were with the Breakers in Valbeck. You were one of them.
I was, he said, frowning.
He didn't know where she was taking him, but didn't much like the direction of travel.
Thought I was doing right, I guess.
Hard to remember what he'd thought. Seemed like a different man who'd thought it. Of course you did. Is there any possibility, do you think, and she looked up at him from under her eyelashes, that you could get in touch with them again?
The Breakers?
Yes, the Burners too, even. She said it as though it wasn't much to ask for, not much effort and certainly no risk. There was that language again, where they both said one thing but meant another. They both knew it'd be a lot of effort. They both knew it'd be a hell of a risk.
Maybe.
Broad pushed his lenses gently up his nose. Most of the Breakers he'd known in Valbeck had been left hanging from gibbets after the uprising, and the rest would be nursing deep grudges. Most of the Burners had been halfway mad to begin with. What he'd been doing for a living would not be at all popular in those quarters. Calling it labour relations wouldn't fool anyone who'd lived in a cellar.
Maybe there's still some folk in Valbeck who could put me on the right track.
All I ask is that you try.
My best, like always.
Meaning his worst, like always. It was his turn to look her in the eye.
Just promise me you'll look after Liddy and May while I'm gone.
And he offered her his hand. Her grip was surprisingly strong, brought a twinge to his aching knuckles. As if they were my family. "You're not even staying for dinner?" asked Liddy. She looked worried. They both did.
"Gotta leave tonight," said Broad, tossing a few things in a bag. "It's urgent."
"Where are you going?"
"Middleland."
He was getting a lot better at lying than he used to be. You have to come at it sideways. Just enough truth to answer the question, not enough to actually tell him anything. If he'd said Valbec, they'd probably have set to crying. Maybe he would have himself. May watched him from the doorway, one hand fiddling with the silver necklace she wore these days.
"It's nothing dangerous, is it?"
"Working for a fine lady, like you always say. How dangerous could it be?"
And he smiled at May, and she smiled back. Either he was getting a lot better at lying, or they just wanted to believe him. He hid it with a joke.
"And don't spend too much time with Zuri's brother Rabik. I've seen how the two of you grin at each other."
"Shut up, Tar,"
giving him a shove and blushing at the same time. He held them both close near the doorway. When he'd gone away to Styria, he'd barely even said goodbye, so keen to leave. Now he clung on tight. Too tight, maybe. Liddy looked up at him as they broke apart.
"You won't be long, will you, Gunnar?"
"No, I won't be long."
And he threw the bag over his shoulder. He'd always thought of himself as honest to a fault, blunt as a hammer, ask anyone. But it occurred to him then he'd started speaking that private language with everyone, saying one thing and meaning another. Only Liddy and May weren't in on it.
"Be back before you know it," he said, and shut the door.
But he wondered if he would be. He wondered if he'd ever be back.